Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Text 6 from chapter 32. Entanglement in Fruitive Activities, Canto 3.
Nirvati Dharma Nirata Nirama Nirahankrataha Svadharma Ptaina Satvena Parishudhena Chetasa Nirvati Dharma Nirata Nirvama Nirahankrate Krataha Svadharmaptena Satvena Parishudhena Chetasa
Nivritti Dharma. In religious activities for detachment.
Nirataha.
Constantly engaged.
Nirmama,
without a sense of proprietorship.
Nirahankrataha,
without false egoism.
Svadharma,
by one's own occupational duties.
Aptena,
executed.
Sattvena,
by goodness.
Parishuddhena,
completely purified.
Chetasa,
by consciousness. Translation, by executing one's occupational duties, acting with detachment, and without a sense of proprietorship or false egoism, one is posted in one's constitutional position by dint of complete purification of consciousness and by thus executing so-called material duties, he can easily enter into the kingdom of God. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here the word Nivritti Dharma Nirata means constantly engaged in executing religious activities for detachment. There are two kinds of religious performances. One is called Pravritti Dharma, which means the religious activities performed by the Grihamedis for elevation to higher planets or for economic prosperity, the final aim of which is sense gratification. Every one of us who has come to this material world has the sense of overlordship. This is called pravritti. But the opposite type of religious performance, which is called nivritti, is to act for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Engaged in devotional service in Krishna consciousness, one has no proprietorship claim, nor is one situated in the false egoism of thinking that he is God or the master. He always thinks himself the servant. That is the process of purifying consciousness. With pure consciousness, only can one enter into the kingdom of God. Materialistic persons, in their elevated condition, can enter any one of the planets within this material world. But all are subjected to dissolution over and over again. Nirati dharma nirata nirmama nirahankritaha svadharma aptena satvena parishuddhena cetasa. Going back to Godhead is preferred to entanglement in fruitive activities. The parallel message of Bhagavad Gita is in chapter 3, where Krishna is describing the living entities, when created, they are provided with, of course, bodies, but they're also provided with a means of purifying themselves, of extricating themselves from the entanglement of material existence. In the course of extricating oneself from entanglement in material conditions, there's certain requirements. And for just sustaining life, practically speaking. So those requirements are byproducts. They're not the purpose. They're byproducts. And the purpose is extricating oneself from material existence. Dharmasya hi apavargasya. And if you don't have apavarga as the goal, then you have pavarga. Pavarga. I've heard this declension so many times. What the pavarga. But I heard yesterday, Prabhupada was going through the Sanskrit alphabet more. Chavarga, Svavarga, Pavarga, Pavarga. And pa 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 ma. So, is material existence, parishrama, hard endeavor, and pa, as in fena or foam, comes to the mouth, one's mouth becomes dry after hard labor, one becomes very thirsty and lips become dry, and sometimes inside of the least parched mouth, and it's a product of hard work. Or sometimes with, I saw it just in India, that the horse example wasn't there, but the camel example was there. It's like he was pulling this huge load of straw, because it was that time of the year, harvest time. Huge. I mean, I don't know how they pile all that stuff up there. It's in all directions. This little teeny cart, big, clumsy camel, huge pile of straw. And in his mouth was fena, hard work, parishrama, fena, abha. The fear of bhaya, fear of existence, of what's next, getting imprisoned into that circumstance of hard work, knowing nothing else, because the very nature of that mentality locks one into thinking there's nothing else. If I don't do this, what am I going to do? How will I take care of things? Because this is what takes care of things, my hard work. Anyway. And mrityu. It's all taken away. Death. So, the purpose is not pavarga, the purpose is apavarga. Getting release from that circumstance. So prescribed duties, it's something that Arjuna doesn't understand. Three times he asks the same thing. So it's not an easy thing to understand how through work one can become detached from the fruits of work. You through work, you get fruits and you get attached to the fruits of work. Everybody knows it. But through work, through prescribed duties, svadharma, this is the formula of becoming situated in one's true spiritual identity through work properly performed. So what are those conditions of proper performance? Starts with nivritti. The whole of the Bhagavatam's teaching is nivritti, as opposed to pravritti. Pravritti, here Prabhupada has said, nivritti is to act for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another way of expressing what nivritti means is the path of progressive detachment from material involvement. Or its converse, pravritti is the path of progressive increase of material involvement through karmakanda yajnas, through Vedic formulas of how to enrich and enhance one's position of prosperity and become more nicely situated in material involvement. And it's important that the personality of Godhead is not prominent, because otherwise you're a thief. So we don't like to think of ourselves as thieves, and so he's not so prominent. He's mentioned at the very beginning, he's the bhokta of the yajna. Then we get down to real business. We get down to the business of enjoying and prospering by the grace of Vishnu. But prospering and enjoying is the essence. Pravritti. But the Bhagavat Dharma is nivritti. Progressively, nivritti dharma. Progressively decreasing one's material involvement. That's only going to happen, say it again, it's only going to happen if the enjoyer of the sacrifice, of the activity, of the religious duty is the personality of Godhead. Just repeat something from yesterday, but one of the most commonly asked questions that I'm asked as a sannyasi is, you know, the connection between work and Krishna consciousness. Like, you know, like it's either how to or I can't, you know, like it's too disturbing or something. How to connect my work with devotional service to Krishna, service to Krishna, transcendental life. Because it certainly looks like material activity, just as Prabhupada is saying directly in the purport. In the verse. By thus executing so-called material duties, one can easily enter into the kingdom of God. But it's not that work is worship. Some people have that phrase, work is worship. Well, work is entangling. But working for Krishna, the nivritti dharma, working for Krishna, working where one is purposefully trying to become less involved in the complexities of material existence through work. So it's like the example of the thorn removing the thorn. Because of strong inclination for work, according to a disposition of the spirit of enjoying, and that spirit of enjoying is also identified. That's the pravritti spirit. One's thinking oneself as the master. So I have this, I am the master spirit. And I want to become freed from that. So I take up work that's prescribed in the spirit of decreasing one's material involvement and satisfying Krishna. So it's the art of work. or the challenge of those who are grihasthas is because of having that suitable ashram for one's progressive spiritual advancement, one has to learn the art of how to work in the workplace in a mood of detachment from the fruits of work, but in the spirit of trying to please Krishna through the nature of how you render your work. And with that, there's some fruit, and the fruit is for Krishna service. That's the position of the grihastha. And in one sense, you know, the brahmachari has a lot easier. Doesn't have to worry about all of that, the fruits of work. But, you know, there's other challenges for the brahmacharya. You know, how do I, those lordship tendencies, you know, where do I repose those? What do I do with those things? Find satisfaction in bringing those, the spirit of being the enjoyer into the spirit of being the enjoyer, being a servant. Being a servant unto all the other ashrams. And increase one's hearing and chanting, finding satisfaction, especially in sacrifice of the hearing process. Prabhupada mentions it specifically in Bhagavad Gita. And through that hearing process, that's a type of work. It's a brahminical type of work. It's purifying for one's existence. But if there's going to be some occupational duty, specifically where there's remuneration, that's not appropriate for a brahmachari to begin with. But for grihasthas, there's some fruit of one's work. And for a brahmachari in the temple, it belongs to the temple. Simple. Real simple. It's simple for those whose hearts are simple. And it's, you know, for those whose hearts aren't simple, it's a cheater's paradise. Or one tries to make it like that. But it's the temple ashram, brahmachari ashram life is the fruits belong to Krishna. Everything belongs to Kishore Kishori. It belongs to the temple. Whatever may come, someone comes in the door and offers some donation or is selling books on Sankirtan or somehow or another something comes, it's the property of the temple. It's Krishna's property. So it's sewn up right within the ashram program itself. And those that are not in that brahmachari situation, it's their duty to earn. And when that duty to earn crosses the table, how do you address it? Nirvati dharma nirata. Nirata is constantly engaged. One commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that I was just reading over the weekend, he was describing that the process of sadhana, bhakti, that the purifying activities in devotion are to be constantly performed. It's not intermittent. Like, you know, I want to make some advancement in Krishna consciousness, so I'll try very carefully to follow these prescribed practices and norms and standards. And now I'm feeling some relief, and so let's see what's up for enjoyment. Brahmabhuta prasanatma nasochati nakangsati samak sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. In describing this verse, Prabhupada explained that the verse is indicating this submission or entrance into the Brahman platform, and when properly performed, it cleanses, it gives relief or cleanses the soul from the contamination of hankering or lamenting, wanting something, and feeling unhappy when that something that I wanted is lost. or is not obtained. Shochuchi na kangsati. But that Brahman platform may be alternatingly attained and relinquished, and attained and relinquished, and attained and relinquished, depending upon one's submission or slackening of submission. So it requires an ongoing point I'm making is nirata. It requires a constant practice in the sadhana stage and a constant execution in the spontaneous stage. There's not another thing. The one lecture that Prabhupada was giving in Brooklyn Temple years ago, he was describing this same point in a different way, that devotional service is not intermittent. It's not that we engage in devotional service and then we take a break from devotional service. I did a lot of devotional service. I'm deserving a break. He was describing the sankalpa vikalpa, accepting, rejecting, tendency of the mind. So when the switch is on, we're accepting. This is my position to serve. And then if the vikalpa tendency, the flip side of, okay, I've worked very hard, I deserve a little vacation. It's like built into how we structure our lives. You know, we have 5-day work day and 2 days weekend. And then it's like, oh, I have to work on Saturday too. So, and anyway, that work hard and then have some vacation. It's just part of how life is, material life is. So devotional service should not be approached in that same way. Prabhupada was then making the point that it's not that we then offer some invitation to Maya. Okay, enough Krishna for a while, I want a little bit of Maya. Prabhupada said, no. Immediately, as soon as the submission unto Krishna is interrupted, immediately Maya is there, engaging us in illusory activity. Immediately. Immediately. No delay. Not a fraction of a second's delay. Immediately Maya is there. He's not knocking on our door either. She's got a hold of us, giving us illusory activity to do. Immediately. And one can go intermittently like that indefinitely. So nirvritti dharma, nirata, constant engagement. And what kind of consciousness should I carry? Nirmama, nirahankrita, without false ego, nirahankara, and without a false sense of proprietorship. Aham and mama, the two follow. With this mama, the sense of proprietorship follows the sense of self-identity. If my self-identity is, I am Krishna's servant, then what is mine? Well, nothing is mine. Well, one thing is mine. One thing is mine, and that's my position of service unto Krishna. That's mine. Constitutionally, that's mine. No one can take it away. Even Krishna doesn't take it away. Everything else is not mine. And if I have a sense that it's mine, whoop, it's gone. It's not mine. Proof it's not mine. But the constitutional position of service unto Krishna, my relationship with Krishna, that's mine. And otherwise, nirmama, and no false ego. The false ego is the sense of who I am, and proprietorship is what is mine, based upon who I think I am. If I think I'm this body, then what's mine is what comes out of this body, like my work, and the fruits of my work, that's mine. and the things that the fruits of my work can acquire, like my possessions and my family, my wife and children and family members, and my house and my bank balance and my car payments and my insurance, but it's all mine. That's mine. It's my domain, my field of activity. Mine. But what's recommended for going back to Godhead is no false ego and no false proprietorship, but just working for Krishna. And that can be done from the Brahmacharya ashram, that can be done from the Grihastha ashram. The form of it is different, the principle of it is the same. And svadharmaptena satvena uptena is to execute svadharma. One executes one's svadharma, not like Krishna indicates to Arjuna, not somebody else's duty, even if perfectly performed. Execute your own duty, that which is the service assigned to you. You do it nicely for Krishna. Satvena, in this condition of purified consciousness. Parishuddhena chetasa. Not just Krishna is in the center, but Krishna is everything. Certainly Krishna is in the center. But Krishna is everything. My life and soul. And so, that which is meant for Krishna's pleasure is, that's my existence. Krishna's pleasure. Krishna's pleasure is my pleasure. My happiness. So that, with that absorption, that is one accesses one's constitutional position immediately. It's not something that happens after this life. One can experience the constitutional consciousness of the self, the soul, and one's relationship with Krishna. And the details of that relationship with Krishna unfold or become more evident as one progresses on that path. And like Krishna says in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that person abides in me always, without a doubt. So the back home, back to Godhead program is already accomplished. Even in the present moment, in the present embodied state. So that's the purpose of prescribed duties from the Bhagavad perspective. And Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, there are other persons who have this pravritti idea, occupational duties are for elevation to a particular planet that I'd like to achieve. This particular sacrifice connecting with my particular duties, and I can attain some destination that sounds really nice. But one should know that too is also phantasmagoria. Whatever it is that one attains in that manner, it's ephemeral. It's subject to dissolution over and over again. Bhutva, bhutva, praliyate. And that's the way of the deluded life. And just conclude with this remark. We're so fortunate. The deluding potency has got everybody so covered. How many persons understand what's the alternative? That there is an alternative. So special. And we may be struggling to understand it and stay fixed and situated and so on, but largely the world doesn't have a clue. Not a clue what's going on. It's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. And, you know, do it nicely if that's like, you know, that's good. But a mission beyond that? So rare. Persons want it, but, you know, what it is even something to articulate what it is, you know, rare. What to speak of how to attain. So, nirvritti, dharma, nirita. The regulative practices of sadhana bhakti are so important. Each one of us should tighten up on a regular basis the strength of our sadhana. And to do so, it requires, you know, attention. It requires, you know, a sense of purpose. Why should I do that? Not just so that, you know, I'm tight and I'm wound up, but it's for purification. It's purification. Purification from illusion. And impetus to do that, it comes in the rest of the chapter. What does that illusion look like? It's scary. When you look at it from the Bhagavad perspective, it's something really not good. Don't go there. Stay in very strongly executed devotional practices and seeing the tendency for work that we have, some occupation, swadharma, in a Krishna conscious perspective. Nirahankar, nirmama, parishuddhena chetasa. It's far more attractive. Or as one person was sharing, while Prabhupada, something Prabhupada said, I haven't heard Prabhupada say this, maybe someone can confirm, but while Krishna consciousness may be difficult, material activity is terrible. There may be struggle to stay on the platform of all these nice things because we're so conditioned and contaminated. But the alternative is terrible. That's this chapter, the rest of this chapter. It's terrible. Really, you see and hear. Take shelter. A devotee should, just like Prahlad Maharaj, same point. Prahlad Maharaj was saying to Lord Nrsingadev, the demigods, they're afraid of this fierce form of you, but looking at this fierce form of you, and he was describing in detail his ears standing erect, his sharp pinching teeth, his sharp nails, his roar that was so loud that elephants were running in all directions, eyes molten red. And I'm not afraid of this, because I understand it's not for the devotees. It's for the non-devotees. But they're gone, so you can, you know, you can remove that feature. But there is something I'm afraid of, and that something that I'm afraid of is material existence. This repeated conditioning of material existence, forgetting you and being engaged in worldly activity, that I'm very afraid of. Please protect me from that by your mercy. So this is a form of our protection and transcendental knowledge, how to be properly situated in our duties of life. And go back to Godhead. Okay, Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes?
We're hearing that there's two paths of religious performance, being that one offers the results of their activities to Krishna. So I'm wondering if devotional service, a form of the direction of spiritual authority, is it technically the Vikimara, or is that a term specifically, doesn't a Vikimara specifically refer to persons who are still engaging in their moral, material, occupational duties, but now are switching to offering the results to Krishna, as opposed to someone who's giving up material activities and switching to silent bhakti or protection.
If we think of the gopis of Vrindavan, they're not engaged in Nivritti Marg. They're certainly detached, but they're not engaged in Nivritti Marg. So it's, you know, ours is a subset of the mature stage, or the beginning stage, is the vidhis, but the vidhis evolve into bhava and prema. So if you take the definition of Rupa Goswami, anyabhilashata shunyam jnanakarma jnanavritam, it applies to the vidhi and the bhava and the prema stages. So we're over here and that's over there. So the Bhagavatam is describing Nivritti Marg or Nivritti Dharma. But let's say the life of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, when he was absorbed in Krishna consciousness and going to perform his duties as the chief magistrate in Puri, he wasn't engaged in Nivritti Dharma, but he wasn't engaged in Pravritti Dharma either. It wasn't in the regulative stage, it was setting an example. Very much like what Krishna says to Arjuna, that when you achieve the stage of perfection, then you'll also perform prescribed duties for the sake of setting example for others. So it's showing the path of Nivritti rather than cultivating. Another example that comes to mind is Raghunath Das Goswami. When he went to Puri, his standards of detachment in the manner of eating was progressively intense and severe. So, from one perspective, he's following Nivritti Marg. From another perspective, his devotion to Krishna was becoming so strong that requirement to give nourishment to the body was just becoming less and less and less and less. It was being exhibited in a particular way, as his Krishna consciousness was becoming stronger and stronger, and it was exhibiting itself in a particular manner. Hear carefully the gift that Shukadeva Goswami wants to give, and that our acharyas to their commentaries want to give, is far more than that. Open your hands, or open your receivers, and let the message in. Or, you know, complacency means that one won't hear. But the message is there. The gift is there. Become a qualified receiver of their gift. Yes?
Kumara, since Pravati Marga is also a Vedic path,
Yes.
I understand that it'll eventually, suppose eventually lead to Nimitta Marga.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, my question is, if it is done according to Vedic description, why would the condemnation be so severe of Prabhu Marga?
Well, the question was, Pravati Marg is Vedic, and it is, if done properly, it will lead one to Nivritti Marg. So why such strong condemnation of Pravati Marg? The condemnation is appropriately there, like Srila Prabhupada describes in the last purport of chapter 6, Bhagavad Gita, where the stages that one may be on is of yoga, is where one is not seeing the next stage, but is kind of stuck on a certain stage, certain level. So those that are engaged in pravritti, as far as they're concerned, as Krishna says in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, as far as they're concerned, there's nothing more. There's nothing more. Trigunya Vishaya Veda, that's it. Become the enjoyer of the three modes of material nature. There's nothing more. So that mentality is condemned. And largely, or almost exclusively, that's the mentality. And those that are guiding that performance, that's their livelihood. They don't see beyond that either. So that mentality is condemned. But on the other hand, the Ashvamedha Yajnas that are executed by Prithu Maharaj or Yudhisthira Maharaj, that's karma kanda. That's pravritti. But, the real purpose is something else. And because they had the proper consciousness, they were able to do that. In proper consciousness, leading to nivritti, leading to deepening their attachment for the personality of Godhead.
The reason I'm asking this question is, we find some devotees accept this in consciousness, but after some time they follow the path of enlightenment.
I was thinking about one of them just this morning. I won't mention his name. Nice devotee. But, after some time, he was... And how that happens, Prabhupada explained. Slackening in the regulations of chanting of rounds and chanting of Gayatris. Those two things he pointed to specifically. That's due to spiritual weakness. And when that happens, then Prabhupada indicated, for that reason we need varnashram. It's like the safety net, so they don't just fall to sense gratification, but they can go to that position where it's, religiously performed pravritti marg according to their duties of varna and ashram. So the prevention is strong hearing and chanting. That was deliberately embedded in the message of this class. The tendency to be a pravritti, a considering oneself to be a master of the objects of this world, is strong. It, like Jai Jagannath is saying, because we're devotees chanting Hare Krishna, we shouldn't think, oh, that's okay, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm protected from that by chanting Hare Krishna. And it's, you know, it, to a degree it's true, but if we're not trying to progress in chanting Hare Krishna on the pravritti marg path, then our chanting will be weakened by, you know, the other tendency, very, very strong other tendency. And that means there's, our chanting will become sloppy, or it will be diminished, and then the prior tendencies come again. Maharaj? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Right. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.